back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the happier happy hour. And Dominic, I am happy to announce we've got pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin live via phone, New Marquette University Law School polling. That is the gold standard here in the great state of Wisconsin. And of course, we just had a partisan primary and we got the pollster himself, Charles Franklin. Welcome back, Charles. Perhaps the funnest poll of the year, the one immediately after the partisan primary.
Hey, Charles.
Oh, yeah, we're kicking things off. And, you know, a little politics. What's better in August?
Well, you know, some people go on vacation, but we keep doing it, us political junkies. Charles, let's talk about the big races. We determined a nominee, the Democrats did, for the U.S. Senate race. And it became a little less dramatic at the end of the race, but Mandela Barnes is the nominee for the Dems. And, of course, the incumbent is U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And the first head-to-head polling, at least since the nominee has been, you know, anointed. How's Mandela doing against Rojo?
He's doing pretty well. 51 for Barnes, 44 for Johnson, a 7-point margin. That's up from Barnes's 2-point lead in June. And I think in part it reflects the way the primary ended with uniting of the party, endorsements from his primary opponents. And I think across the board you can see that Barnes enters this race with some pretty favorable views. The one caveat is between 25% and 40% say they don't know enough about him on particular questions. So there's lots of room to shape that image. But the people that have an opinion of him right now are quite positive, and that's reflected in the vote, giving him a 7-point lead at this point.
Well, and he's also leading substantially in the net favorable, unfavorable. When you look at Mandela's favorable, unfavorable, and you compare it with Ron Johnson's, I mean, Mandela's way above water and Ron's way underwater.
No, and this is very consistent. Just what you said on favorability, Mandela well ahead, Ron Johnson underwater. But it's also true of cares about people like you. Net positive by quite a bit for Barnes, net negative for Johnson, and shares your values. Positive for Barnes, negative for Johnson. As I say, on these questions, 23% or so say they don't know enough about Barnes to know whether he cares or shares their values. And it's higher, 41% said they didn't know enough about him to give a favorable or unfavorable opinion. So there lies the campaign and how those folks come to know him. But at this stage, the people that know him like him quite a bit across all three of these questions.
Charles, one note that I saw in here, the other independent run for governor, Joan Biglinger, polling at 7%. And we were talking about this earlier. That seems high for an independent, Charles. Do you have any context for that number?
Yeah. Well, there are two parts. One is it's common for independents to poll well at the beginning of a general election campaign, before the campaign, you know, reaches its peak in October. So we'll see what her trajectory looks like. But one thing I found interesting was that in June, 12% said they wanted somebody else, didn't know, refused to answer the question, and wouldn't pick one of the two-party nominees. This time, with her on the ballot and getting 7%, the total that wanted somebody other than the party candidates, also 12%. So it doesn't look like her being included in the ballot this time, in the survey ballot this time, didn't change the support for the two party candidates together. They got basically the same thing. But she soaked up much of that 12% that wasn't ready in June to pick one of the major party candidates. 12% not ready to do that now. She's getting 7% of that. But as we go from registered voters, where she's at 7, to likely voters, her support drops off to 4% with likely voters. So, you know, pay some attention to this and see what role she might play going through the fall. But she is where she is, and she got herself on the ballot. And, you know, kudos to her for succeeding in that. And for picking up 7% in this survey.
Well, Charles, just for clarification's sake, because I don't want to confuse the audience, the independent candidate is not in the U.S. Senate race. She is in the gubernatorial race, correct? And that race has Tim Michaels, and it has obviously the incumbent, Tony Evers, and that is a much closer race. I mean, Mandela's got a substantial lead. The margin of error is greater than Tony Evers' margin over Tim Michaels when you factor in that independent.
Well, absolutely. And sorry, we did shift races there without noticing it to everybody. It's a 2-point race in the governor's side. That's inside the margin of error, which is 4.2%. And that's a tightening of the race. In June, Evers had a 7-point lead. Now it's a 2-point lead, a 5-point shift, and, you know, net in Michael's favor. But my point was that the independent or the undecided want somebody else numbers in total didn't change over that time is really in the governor's race that the two-party candidates were getting the same share. But a closer margin. I think there you're seeing Michaels maybe benefiting from his party primary, which certainly did a lot to introduce him to voters who hadn't heard anything of him since 2004 when he ran the last time. And I think a spirited competition in the Republican primary, but it looks like Republicans are just as united behind Michaels as Democrats are behind Evers. It's the independents who are going a little bit for Evers by about 4 points that are making some of the difference for why Evers is ahead in that race. The partisans are pretty solid, and there's not much difference, a couple of point difference in the crossover vote for governor.
Charles, I also noted the Mandela Barnes campaign was bragging about the fact that they are winning independents over Ron Johnson by 14%. That seemingly is certainly would be the margin of victory in this state.
Oh, absolutely, because remember that there's only 1% difference in the parties. Republicans have 44% of 45% of the electorate, Democrats 44%. If you take out leaners, it's 30-29. There's a very even party balance here. And when the parties are equally united, as they are right now in both of these races, it really puts it on independents. Barnes is doing far better with independents than Evers is with independents. And it's exactly the same people answering the question. So this is where Barnes at the moment has a real strong performance, and where Johnson is suffering with independents. But I keep reminding folks that it's a long ways to November, and the campaign is going to be a big question of whether independents stay where they are now or shift. Could be to run up the score for Barnes, but it could be to pull his numbers back down a bit as the campaign progresses. Stay tuned.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Charles Franklin, a pollster extraordinaire, Marquette University Law School polling, joins us. Always a pleasure, Charles. Thank you for doing so. What I've noticed, the increase in support of independents towards Mandela Barnes from the last poll, well, there have been some hearings. The January 6 hearings have occurred since then. Do we have any sense of what the impact is, where people are thinking about the January 6 hearings and how they look at the elections here in the state of Wisconsin?
Right. Not so much on the impact of elections. The one thing that I thought was important is that over half of all the party groups say they've heard a lot about the January 6th hearings. It's higher, 70% with Democrats, but it's still 53% of Republicans. So in that sense, the message of the fact of the hearings and the testimony is being paid attention to across the board. The interpretation, though, is hugely different. Just 8% of Republicans say Trump bears a lot of responsibility for the violence on January 6th. 62% of Republicans say he bears no responsibility at all. But among independents, it's 46% a lot, 29% nothing, and among Democrats, 89-2. So Republicans and Democrats are somewhat similar in their exposure to the hearings, but their takeaways from the content is just dramatically different. That's hardly a surprise given our party splits and Donald Trump's unique polarizing character. The same thing we find in favorability, 77% of Republicans are favorable to Trump. It's a little lower than that among Democrats. But on want Trump to run again in 2024, what was 77% favorable to Trump with Republicans drops to 59% of Republicans wanting him to run again. So if you're looking at any impact, whether it's the hearings or the emergence of other alternatives that are popular in the GOP, I think that is an interesting gap between 77 favorable, but 59 wanting to run again. Now, 59% of your party will certainly get you the nomination if you choose to run. But it is worth noting there is some slippage there.
Hey, Charles Franklin, I know you're a wanted man on polling days. Do you got 8 more minutes for us?
For you? Sure.
Awesome, man, because I know you pulled on abortion. And I know the overturning of Roe v. Wade perhaps is moving the electorate. Certainly, they have strong opinions. Charles, we want to find out about it. Going inside the Marquette University Law School polling numbers with our good friend Charles Franklin. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Advocates. So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
Night. And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, you can go online to darnwi.com and listen to download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, coming up very, very soon, my Congressman Mark Pocan joins us at 5:30. Right now, we got Charles Franklin. He's generously stuck around. He is the pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School poll. And Charles, I'm downright giddy. New polling dropped today. Always appreciate you coming round, sir. Here's my question. The abortion issue, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. What has this done to the electorate? And overall, what are the public sentiment on the overturning of Roe v. Wade amongst Wisconsin voters, at least?
Yeah, I think this is obviously an important question, and I think the data are kind of interesting. First of all, of the 9 issues we asked about, abortion ranks 4th in that list. So it's above the middle, but it's only a little above the middle. It's not an overwhelming issue. It is rated considerably higher by Democrats and not so much by Republicans. So I think that's an interesting shift from some of the past. When we ask about the Supreme Court decision, 79% say they've heard a lot about the decision. So it's clearly very much in people's minds. Did you favor overturning Roe? 33%. Opposed to overturning it? 60%. And 7 don't know. And in the question of how, what should be legal and illegal, we ask a question, should it be legal in all cases, legal in most, illegal in most, or illegal in all? We've been asking this for a decade now. And 65% say legal in all or most. 30% say illegal in all or most cases. But over 10 years, we've seen very little change in that question. On this survey, there's about a 5-point drop on the illegal side and about a 5-point increase in the legal side, whether always or in most cases. So there is a shift there, and that shift is true across the party divide, where Republicans, for example, went from 20% saying illegal in all cases in June down to 10% saying that. So I think there's a little shift on the Republican side in opposition. Now, Republicans are certainly more favorable to overturning Roe. They're also a majority opposed to legal abortions. But there's a little bit of shift there. And then finally, and maybe the most important question is, should there be legal abortions in cases of rape and incest, which, remember, is not allowed in the state's 1849 law if that goes into effect? 88% say abortion should be legal in those cases. Just 8% say it should not. But that includes 79% of Republicans, 87% of independents, and 97% of Democrats. In a lot of this survey, including on when abortion should be legal or not, there are big partisan differences that go in exactly the way you expect them to. But on this question of a rape and incest exception, the public is remarkably united. I think that 88% is as big as we've ever seen for a particular issue. And the fact that it includes 79% of Republicans raises real questions coming through the fall about what candidates are ready to do about Wisconsin's 1849 law, or if they're willing to do nothing and let it go into effect with this ban, including banning rape and incest exceptions. And there's a ton of other arguments about when it should be permitted and when it shouldn't be, and partisan differences are more clear there. But on this question of rape and incest exceptions, the data is just extremely clear.
Well, that would leave GOP gubernatorial nominee Tim Michaels in a very small minority, if I understand the math. If 88% of Wisconsinites believe there should be exceptions, that puts him in the 12%. Our fine guest, Charles Franklin, for a few more minutes. Charles, here's my question. Has the overturning of Roe v. Wade engaged Team Blue? Is that change the electorate, or is it engaging the pro-life faction, let's call it Team Red?
No, it looks like it's more effective with Democrats than Republicans. The pro-life faction of the Republican Party has been incredibly strong in GOP politics, but it's not rated as a highly important issue among Republicans right now. Not unimportant, but not nearly as high as Democrats. The other thing is, we saw a closing of the enthusiasm gap to about voting in the winter and spring. The two parties were pretty close to each other on that. In June, though, Republicans picked up a considerable advantage. But this month, Republican enthusiasm hasn't changed, and Democratic enthusiasm went up 10 points. More importantly, people saying they're absolutely certain to vote, there's just a 1-point difference, 83 for Republicans, 82% of Democrats. So what matters is whether you go to the polls or not, whether enthusiastically or not. If this absolutely certain to vote opinion holds up, then we're not seeing meaningful differences in mobilization of the parties. Long time till November, but right now there is no enthusiasm gap or turnout gap in Wisconsin.
Charles, back in 2016, Russ Feingold was the Democratic nominee. Obviously, Ron Johnson won that race, and Evers Walker, do you recall where those races stood at approximately this time in history?
Sure. Well, first of all, Feingold had a substantial lead through the spring, but it plateaued over the summer, and Johnson closed that gap in August, September, early October, and by our final pre-election poll, it was a toss-up. It was a 1-point race. Johnson went on to win by 3. So there was a very clear trajectory to that campaign. In the 2018 governor's race, Walker had a small advantage early on that tightened, and in our final poll, it was a dead toss-up. They got exactly the same vote in the poll.
Thank you, Charles Franklin. Sorry to cut you short. More Devils with Mark Pocan.